Thank the Lord this morning for salvation and for the privilege to be with the people of God. Desire your prayers this morning. The Lord would bless our time together. Have a few little domestic issues we might talk about this morning with a much needed prayer on your part to help, ask the Lord to help us. I'd like to talk about unresolved anger this morning, and I desire that you would pray for us. Unresolved anger is a big issue. It's something we can focus in on, just our needs this morning, and not look any further than our own lives. We'd probably find there's areas where each of us has had to ask the Lord to help us with some difficult places in life to get through. I remember as a boy, I had a Yamaha 250. And my dad said, "Now be sure, son, you mix this oil with this gas to make sure this runs." And I was a rebellious person. I told a lie, because that engine on that motor, it blew up. My dad was so mad at me, and he asked me, "Did you mix the oil with that gas?" And I said, "No, I didn't." And I had. I was wanting to see if he really knew what he's talking about. And you know, he said, "I told you so. I told you that would happen. And if you'd only listened to me, that wouldn't happen." Well, I was not very tactful. I wasn't very smart. And I tell you, there's things I did in my early life that caused me to develop some roots of bitterness. I became bitter at my dad because I thought I did exactly what he told me to do, and this didn't work. It didn't work. It wasn't like he told me. Growing up, children can develop roots of bitterness, and that can spread and go through your life. You can become angry at other people, your parents. You can even become angry with God, and that can set you back in your life. I want to tell you, the first thing when I got saved I wanted to do was to clear up some problems that I had with my dad. And I went to him and I told him that I was sorry. There was other things. I told you a little fraction of a lie. But there was other things that had happened in my life that I became bitter at my dad for things that had happened in life. And when I got saved, the Lord changed all of that. And I remember going and asking Him to forgive me and hugging Him, which was hard to do. But I was able to get that out of the past. And I want you to know there's a real blessing in getting bitterness and things cleared up. Because unresolved anger doesn't just stay in just one little place. It grows. When we don't resolve something, when we don't resolve a problem, there's bigger problems that come up out of that. And sometimes they're difficult, more difficult to manage as they get older. But I believe God wants to help every one of us to deal with things while they're workable. You know, looking at the brick on the chapel here, thinking about the mortar that's in between those bricks, it was very soft and it was very workable at one point. But overnight, after those bricks were laid, that mortar began to set up and it got hard and hard and harder. It increased in its strength. Anger is a lot like that. And I would encourage us today to seek God to know how to resolve issues in life that come our way. wrath. Unresolved anger, it turns into wrath. It doesn't just stop. Again, it goes into the next step. Wrath, when it goes from the anger, then the wrath, and then into vengeance and the getting even and doing things. Wrath is a boiling over. It's like a pot that's sitting there boiling, and then finally it just boils over, and people begin to say things. They begin to express their anger and take out their vengeance, and that really doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. Wrath is the boiling over of our passions, and it can get out of hand real quick. Sometimes we think, and I'm going to read some scriptures in a moment, just bear with me please, but when we begin to take matters into our own hands, we begin to think that we should do something to settle this matter, you know, it can really get out of hand very quickly. God wants to help us to realize that vengeance is His. And He's going to repay, not us. God's going to repay. The getting even spirit and trying to get back is always a strikeout. We'll never really accomplish anything trying to get even. So, I would like to read a few scriptures here and ask the Lord to help us today. The book of Psalms. Would someone give me some help here today and do a little reading for me? Someone get Psalms 37 and 8. And also Ecclesiastes 7 and 9. So 37 and 8 of Psalms and Ecclesiastes 7 and 9. Would you please read those for me?
Psalms 37 and 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil.
All right. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. And don't... What was the rest of that, Brother Eric? Don't... Fret not thyself in any wise.
Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil.
To do evil. The wasted time. Wasted time we can spend on getting back at a person. It is a wasted time. I believe God wants to help us to cease from anger and forsake wrath. Now, does it mean that the people of God are never going to get angry? Does it mean when you're saved and sanctified, there's not going to be things that make you angry? When you get to this level of perfection, that you'll never get angry? I don't believe it does. I believe that there are things that will come about. They'll be just like with children sometimes. They can make you angry. I heard of one woman, she said, you all be quiet. Don't say nothing for the next 15 minutes. And they'd stopped at a rest stop. And this little boy's shoe would come off. And they kept quiet, and about 15 minutes later, which was about 15 miles or so, maybe it was longer than that, he said, Mom, she said, okay, you all can speak now. He said, well, I left my shoe back there at that rest stop. Well, you know, those kind of things can make you angry because you think, why didn't you tell me, Mama? You said, don't say anything for the next 15 minutes, and I'm just trying to be good. Those things can make you angry. Those things, and having a flat tire, and different things, you know, problems. There's going to be things that aggravate us. The Scripture says, be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So I believe that even though in a saved and sanctified experience, there's going to be issues and things come up that cause us to get angry. That doesn't mean that we sin. That doesn't mean that we step out of bounds and we're allowed before the sun goes down to curse somebody or say, do something to be wrong. I don't believe that. But I believe there's going to be things that irritate us, things that cause us to get angry, things that are upsetting to us and frustrating and all. But it doesn't have to get down to a point where we're carrying a spirit of anger. You know, there's a difference in getting angry and carrying a spirit of anger. And that's why I'm concerned this morning. The Lord's dropped a little burden on my heart about unresolved anger. That's the danger part. It's when we carry things from yesterday and bring it into our todays, and then it affects our tomorrows, and we carry the spirit of anger. And it's something that is never been resolved, because it's a deep-seated thing sometimes. If I'd let it, I would have failed to see the joy of my dad getting saved before he died. If I had dropped the ball, if I had not followed after the Lord and forgiven and asked for forgiveness, I would have not seen his end in getting saved. And it's so critical for us today. Anger is something that's swept under the carpet. It's something many times that we don't even like to talk about. I'm embarrassed at some of the things I've done. I'm embarrassed, but you know, there's been a healing with God, and there's been, when we receive His forgiveness, there's something about it that just releases us and turns us loose. I was watching this woman in jail one time, and I could tell this lady was soaking something up. I was dealing with this very thing about anger, and one of the points that I'd like to bring out this morning that also touched her heart was clearing our conscience. When we talk about resolving anger, when we talk about getting rid of it, that is a big step, folks. That's something, it's got to have a power bigger than me to be able to do it.
Yes.
And to get rid of it, to really annihilate, get it out, it's a wonderful thing. There's release. There's release. Oh, I thought of the successes. I look around and I see successful people. You come from families that you would have really, in a natural sense, a right to be bitter against them for what they've done. You would have a right almost. You think, look, they did that to me and it hurt me. It's caused me to be damaged today. And you would almost have a right to feel angry at them. But I look around and I see successful people. People that have realized they have to go to a higher power and turn these people loose. And they've forgiven them. What a wonderful thing this morning. Resolving anger. Would someone read there in the book of Ecclesiastes 7 and 9. Whoever got that, would you please read that? Remember this scripture in Psalms 37, 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Cease from it and forsake it. Get away from it. Who got that? 7 and 9.
Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools.
All right, listen to this. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Anger is like a cancer. Anger will cause us to really have problems in life. We'll have problems with relationships. We'll have problems with the people that are closest to us. We will let a little tinge of bitterness or a memory of something just pop up in our minds, and it'll just stay with us. Lord, help us to have a forgiving heart, to be able to forgive and turn people loose, to be able to let them go. This lady that I was telling you about a moment ago, I could tell in the couple hours time that I was in the class, and she came to me, first thing she jumped up and she came over there and she said, I need to talk to you. And time was out and the guards was waiting to take them. And I said, well, ma'am, we don't have much time. She said, I know, but I need to talk to you. And she said, I killed my husband. I killed him. That's what I'm in here for. I killed him. She said, I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't handle it anymore. It was more than... And I'm going to tell you, my heart melted. I my heart went out to this woman. I said, man, you know, I've got to report everything you tell me. She said, I don't care. I just got to talk to you. I got to tell somebody something because my heart, I've got to clear my conscience. Didn't you just tell me I need to clear my conscience? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, okay, now what do I do? In just a few moments that I have with her, I gave her the best I could. I told her, you've done the right thing. Make your confession. You're on the right track. You clear your conscience. You'll have peace. You'll be able to sleep tonight. You'll be able to... I told them, and I believe that today. A lot of our sleep is lost because we become bitter, and the people that we're bitter against, we hold them, and I can't let them go. And they're a long ways from us sometimes. They're a long ways from us. And they're holding us prisoner. When we don't forgive people, we become their slave. They control our appetite. They control our sleeping. They control so many things about us because we want to see justice done to them. We want to see that equal payment is given for the pain they inflicted upon us, and we lose sleep, and it causes so much problems. God wants to release us. He wants to turn us free. And you know, after that class, I had to go talk to the investigator. I had to talk to one of the detectives there. And I told him, he said, man, I've been in here for years, never heard of this. What's the deal? What are you teaching anyway? I never heard nobody come. They never come in here and committed or confessed anything. What kind of class are you teaching? I said, well, Mr. Wilson, I'm teaching a class in anger. And he kept me there for an hour and a half. He said, he wanted to know what in the world I was doing down there. Well, here's what I'm doing. I'm telling people about the gospel. I'm telling about the power to break for bitterness and the chains of bondage that bind us so much. Be careful, dear ones. There are so many things. He said here, anger, where does it abide? It rests. It stays in the bosom of a fool. That's where it stays, and it'll eat a hole in your life. It'll eat right down to the very core. It'll cause you to lose sleep. You'll be fatigued. You'll be exhausted because there's these things going on. Maybe it's a bad business transaction. Somebody got to you. Somebody took advantage of you. You ever had that happen? Somebody tell you, yay, 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 this is the way it is. I think of that scripture, it is not, saith the buyer, but when he goes his way, he rejoices. With one of my kinfolks is my granddad. Was at this person's house. He wanted me to go with him to help him get a tiller. We got in his old truck and went over there. And this man, he said, well, how much do you want for your machine? He said, oh, I don't know. And my granddad, I felt so ashamed. He's telling me, just running his tiller down. You know, and I thought of that scripture. It is not. We get in the truck, we load this up for $15, he buys this tiller, gets in his truck, my granddad says, oh, I wish I could buy 30 of them. And the poor old man, he's barely got $15 for his tiller. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he goes his way, ah, I got a good deal. You know, I could be bitter. About $80,000 worth of bitterness could come out of me if I think more than that, double that probably, of a bad deal. People, oh yeah, this is the way it is, this is the way it is. No, struggling years later because of somebody's misrepresenting something can bring bitterness. People wonder, well, you know, that was a good message. You know how much that message cost? It cost several thousand dollars. Yeah, there's a lot of forgiveness. There's a lot of things had to happen before that come about. But I thank God for it. Yes. What's it worth? I mean, that is insignificant. If it can help others to do better in life, if we can look at the power of the gospel and what it will do for us, it can help us and change us so many ways. anger rests in the bosom of fools. I'm not going to let it abide there. I'm not going to be angry with God. I'm not going to waste my time over people that have not been honest in their dealings with me. That's not going to make me a dishonest person. You understand what we have externally? Those forces pushing against us, they're trying to cause you to conform and be like them. I'm not going to be that way by the grace of God. You're not either, because we found there is a wonderful power of the gospel. There's a wonderful thing of forgiveness that releases us. I want to tell you about that woman in jail. I never saw her again. I never saw her again. She never came back to my class. And I was subject. I didn't know if I was going to be called in to testify against her. They never did. I went to the, first of all, to the chaplain, and I told him, he said, "Oh yeah, these women, they're drama queens. They always do this. This is no deal." And then he pulled up her name and he said, "Is this her?" I said, "That's her number." He said, "Oh, that's what she's in here for." She wanted to get her conscience clear. And I believe the Lord, that's an important part for us to do. Don't walk out of here. Don't miss the blessings today of knowing forgiveness with God and what it feels like to release people. Let them go. Don't hold them. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Anger rests in the bosom of fools. That's a caustic place. It will eat up. Someone, would you please read for me Ephesians 4 and 31. He talks about putting anger away. Listen to this. 4, 31 and 32. Read that, please. I sometimes marvel how the Lord, when He blesses a message, I'm not talking about myself. I listen. I try to listen. And I think, you know what? There's a lot involved in that message. When I hear people, ministers preach and there's anointing and there's blessings, I think, you know, that cost them something. That cost them. They're not up there because of their own eloquence. They're not up there and doing things. There's a cost behind that. Somebody paid some big dividends. They paid out for that. There was sacrifice in that. There was something, you know, that brings anointing in our life whenever there's something that costs us something. God help us today. All right, would you please read that?
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
And the next one, Brother Steve.
And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
It's more than poetry. That is life-giving things. And he said here, put away, get it far from you. Don't let it hang around you. It'll cause you trouble in life. Holding grudges and those bitterness. I remember I came upon a young man one time and I looked and I could see this distraught look in his face. I said, "What are you thinking about?" He said, "Hatred and revenge." He borrowed my car a few days later and cut his wrist, almost killed himself. Folks, to dwell on things that are hatred and revenge is a terrible thing to dwell. It'll eat. Anger rests in the bosom of fools. It'll eat a hole in you. It'll cause you to go to extremes. It'll take you to limits you don't want to go. And there's sometimes we have some of the, even the bitterness toward God. God, why did you let that happen to me? Why did those things, we can wrestle around and, you know, there's sometimes you just say, "Lord, I'm thankful that you was good to me. He was merciful. I don't hold any bitterness." The day I got a call that my dad had a stroke, the Lord dropped a scripture in my mind, part of a scripture in the book of James that said, "You have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is pitiful and of tender mercy." Oh, I said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That's my father now. He's facing eternity. Maybe at this moment he's already gone. But you know, I was able to get there at the hospital to him, and he looked at me, and he squeezed my hand. I could tell he knew my voice. I said, "Well, Daddy, let's pray." Oh, I tell you, there's some sweet memories. God can take bitter things, and He can make them sweet.
Yes, praise God.
He can take old bitter things and He can turn them around. I'm very grateful for that. The scripture that Brother Steve read for us here today is just chock full of good things. He said, just let all this bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, all these old things that's been going on, and people get things stirred up and keep the pot just going and going. He said, put them away from you. He said, be kind one to another. So grateful today for the tender mercies of the Lord. May the Lord bless us this morning. Now, unresolved anger. If you've been having trouble with relationships in your life, been having trouble with your spouse, you've been having trouble with your neighbor, you know there's a way that God is probably pointing to us and saying there's some issues I want you to look at. I want you to go a little bit deeper than what you've gone before. I want you to look further and just try to than just trying to forget things. You know what I've concluded? That past hurts don't just go away. You think, well, they're, you know, time will heal. I know time has a way of doing some things, but there's a power that we need more than just time. Time erasing. Time is going to do this. Time is going to change. No, I want to tell you, there's some things the blood can only change. Time won't do it. Time has a way of you forgetting, but the blood has a way of erasing. And there's so we need the blood applied. The clock ticking is not going to change what you have memorized and the pain that's been inflicted and the hurts and the words and all the things that's happened. That clock ticking is not going to change that, my friend. We're needing the blood this morning. And we're needing to be honest. We're needing to ask the Lord to help us and get down to some root causes in our life. Root causes. These fellows were telling me, or the people, as I was starting to teach this class a few years ago, said, well, we need someone for anger management. I said, sir, I don't have anything really for anger management, but I've got something for resolution. He said, well, you know, don't be so technical. I said, well, no, I think about it for a moment. Managing an old tiger in the backyard in a cage is different than just getting rid of the tiger. And you want to manage the thing, and I'm telling people, no, get rid of that thing. I don't want him around my backyard. I don't want him growling and biting at me. I want to get rid of him. The modern way today is to manage anger. Manage it. The part that I found in the Scriptures is resolving. It's coming up and getting down to the roots. And what's different? Managing is something you do externally, and you can do certain things and you can get by with it. But when you resolve something, you dig down to the roots. If you want to get rid of Bermuda grass, you've got to dig down to the roots, and they go deep. You've got to dig down to the roots sometime to get rid of things that are bothering us. So, with that said, we've got to do some work on our own. It's not going to be something that's easy. I told him, fellas, and went to listen, why did you come in this class? I know you're just wanting to get out of your pod for a while, but I said, you know, you come in here, and I'm going to tell you right off, this is not easy. It's going to take something on your part. And it's going to be the same in our life. If we get anything resolved, it's going to be because we do some digging. It's because we actually humble ourselves and we get down to the thing and face it and say, Lord, this is me. This is me. That's how we're going to resolve issues. It's not by learning some methods and doing different maneuvers with our mind, and when something bad comes, I think about something good. No, we're going to have to dig down to some and face some issues. Lord, help us today. So, saying that past hurts don't go away, there's not going to be a magical day that everything just flies off and I don't forget it. No, there's going to have to be some work on our part. Clearing our conscience is a very important thing for us, and the Lord help us today. I would like to look in the book of Psalms. I believe it's the 51st Psalm, and it says something about, Lord, I want you to attend unto my prayer. Let my cry come unto thee. My concern here at this time is crying out to God. I believe that every one of us need to learn how to cry out to God. Crying out to God is different than just praying. If someone can find that scripture to me, let my prayer and my cry. David, I'm sorry I didn't have that wrote down, but David is concerned about crying out to God. And I believe that's our concern today, it should be, is learning how to cry out to God. When I can't break habits, when I can't change myself, when I can't do any better, and I keep going in the same rut over and over and over, we need to stop praying just a casual prayer and cry out, God, help me. I have some issues. I need your help. You know what crying out to God? It's when, years ago, Brother Marvin Probst was driving down from a meeting, and we were getting on I-40 there out of Shawnee, Oklahoma. And as I pulled on the road, I started dodging all this trash and stuff looked like in the road. And as I got from the on-ramp onto the I-40, my lights shined on this man laying right there in the white lines. He's laying there. I could tell somebody hit him. And Brother Marvin got a flashlight and I said, I'll back down the ramp and I'll get somebody to call. And as I was backing down, this car behind me was coming up and I stopped him. And I said, hey, there's somebody been hit here. You know, call the police. He said, I'm the one that hit him. What I'm telling you, that man was dying. He was laying right there on the white lines and people was going around him. Nobody would stop for him. And I remember he was dying there and I just kind of got him up a little bit where I could kind of get his head in a rested position. And I began to cry out to God. You know, there's a difference between praying and crying out. There's just a difference. And I wanted to bring that out. Did anyone find that scripture at all?
I found one in Psalms 82. It says, let my prayer come before thee, incline thine ear unto my cry.
Yes. All right.
Psalm 61:1, hear my cry, O God, hear my prayer.
Yes. I wanted to make the distinction. There is a distinction between praying and crying out. When you get an emergency, when a little daughter was, well, she was being born at home and this midwife said, there's something going on here. This child has some problem. You really need to pray. We begin to cry out to God. Can you see there's a difference when you have an emergency, when you have things going on? You don't pray the just a casual prayer. It's a, God, help me. I need you so much. I need you, Lord, today. Would you please answer prayer for us? My little daughter, her Apgar score was 4 when she was born. She was purple. And a cord was wrapped around her neck. She was in a very low place. It was a low Apgar score. And you know, we began to cry out to God, and just a few minutes after she was born, that came up to like an 8 or a 9. And it's because you learn how to cry out to God. You understand me? It's different. It's just different when you're in an emergency, when you're in a place, Lord, help me, please, God. I want you to help me. A cry, it expresses helplessness. It expresses desperation. Lord, we need you here. Please come on the scene. Please intervene for us. Help us now. Lord, we need you. We're desperate for you. If we would get that desperate when we face insurmountable places in life, when we have some issues to deal with, if we begin to cry out to God, Lord, help me here. I struggle with this for years. It's been a problem in my life for years. I've never been able to get over it. My mom and dad had trouble. They held grudges and they had problems and weaknesses. Lord, help me to get over this. Whenever we begin to cry out to God, folks, we begin to see the power of God and what He can do for us. We begin to experience it. It's real in our lives. We begin to get some victories we didn't have before. It's an important ingredient in getting help in our life. Hannah was there praying, and Eli marked her words, said, "You're a drunken woman, a child of Belial. What are you doing?" And she said, No, it's the bitterness of my heart. Lord, I desire a child." She was there crying out, "Lord, help me. Help me, God." God understands our cry. Don't you know He understands it? When we can't put it into words, sometimes He understands it. Yeah. Folks, don't lose the key. This is the key. Getting rid of things in our life and dealing with root problems and old things that won't go away. The key is contained here. Learning how to cry out to God. Lord, please. You see how many times I've faced this. Now I need you to help me get over this. Get over it. Oh, what a relief. What a joy to see God work in our lives and do things for us. Oh, He wants to help us today. Don't forget to cry out to God. In the book of Genesis, I must tell you, this takes me about 8 hours, and I'm trying to condense it down into 45 minutes. It used to take me 6 months, and I realized a lot of these men and women weren't getting the full lesson, so I condensed it down. It got smaller and smaller, and so forgive me, I'm doing my best I can. There's so much to cover. The book of Genesis 42, I'd like to look at something about our conscience. 42 and 7. Joseph been sold into slavery. Joseph prospered. He's at a place of second in command, and here he looks up, and who's coming down the aisle but his family? Who's coming down the aisle and looking at him begging for food but his family? Oh, what a good time to get even. What a good time to get back at those boys. You don't know what I went through. So it said here, Joseph saw his brethren, knew them, but made himself strange unto them and spake roughly unto them. He said unto them, "Whence come ye?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And it said here, Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them and said unto them, "Ye are spies. to see the nakedness of the land, you're come. Anyway, I'm going to save some time. You can read the story. You know the story. Joseph said, you all are going to jail. You all are going to go to jail. And I have a feeling that he put them in the same room that he was in when he was incarcerated. And those boys got in there, and what happened to them? What happened? If I know just natural feelings of men, they was looking around the walls, and they was looking for those initials. Joseph was here. They was looking to say, I wonder if it's the same place. And they was looking all around. And they was wanting, you know, kind of sidetracking here, but that was the big thing when I was going to high school or junior high school, is just carve your initials in the walls. That was a big thing. Everybody's doing that. One of my friends thought he would really be, have his really seen, and he took a rake and carved off this fireproofing that was all on the wall. He made his initials real big. Got in trouble for it too. But I can just imagine these men in there looking around. You know what their thoughts are? I'll tell you what they are. It's found in verse 21. They said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us and would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. It's amazing whenever you're found guilty, and you know that guilt will, it has a way coming around. There's going to be things that happen. The first thing come out of their mouth, the reason we're in here is because of what we've done to Joseph. Years ago, I'm not sure, 15, 17 years had passed. There had been a period, maybe you all know, if you do, just how many years, I'm open to that. But there was a period, let's just say it's a period of time. It wasn't yesterday. And I want to tell you this. Our conscience has a way of bringing back to our memory, has a way of repeating things to us. Repeating. And this is what happened to them. They got in that cell, that place, and they began to talk to each other and said, this is the reason that we're here. It's amazing what our conscience does to us. It's amazing how we think sometimes. I went with the deputy, a couple of them one time on a call. We went up north and this man called in and said, I think this trailer that's been at my place is stolen. Long story short, knock on the door. The man, first thing he says as he sees the deputy, said, you know, I've been meaning to call you all and tell you this trailer was stolen. And oh, they put that man in the car with me, and he cried and he carried on and shook the car. It's amazing what our conscience, how it works. These men were thinking about years ago what they'd done. Reuben said, didn't you know we heard him cry out? And I told you all, don't do that to him. We have to be able to recognize some of the things going on in our life. We have to recognize God is trying to help us to clear things up, and He's bringing back another event. He's bringing back something to jog our memory. Here's the reason I want you to think about. This is what's going on. Remember. God has a wonderful way. He has a way because He's concerned about us. People of God, we're not any different than anyone else. We have to deal with issues. We have to deal with problems. We have things. But the great help that we have, we know it. It's through God. That is the one we cry out to. That's the one we get our help from. One more thing, and I'm going to have to quit. Proverbs 26 and 17. Proverbs 26 and 17. Be careful of this one thing. There's lots of things to be careful for, but 26 and 17 says, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife not belonging to him, is as one that takes a dog by the ears. He that passes by and he meddles with strife that's not belonging to him. If you think about it for a moment, your best friend, your sister, your brother, your mom, whoever, can get hurt. They can get hurt. And you say, well, they got hurt. Whatever hurts them hurts me. And you know, the real truth is, folks, that hurt wasn't done to you. The hurt was done to them. And they can get help from it. God can bless them and give them grace because it was done directly to them. It wasn't done to you. You passed by and meddled with something that didn't belong to you. And you picked the dog by the ears. And you've got him. You're going to get bit. He's saying that be careful of taking up offenses. Be careful of passing by and meddling with something that don't belong to you. It's one of the most entangling forms of bitterness. It's very hard to get over. Say, oh, they hurt my... I remember my mom coming home from school and seeing her crying. Mama, what are you crying for? She wouldn't tell me. Somebody had hurt my mom. That made me bitter, and I found out later who it was and what they'd said. My mom stopped going to this church over there, and these people come by and was, you did run well. Who did hinder you from obeying the truth? And they was hard on my mom just because she couldn't go along with it anymore. You know, those things can cause you to get a root of bitterness. I made fun of my mom. It hurt. But I want to tell you something. Mama had grace to forgive. I watched my mom the day before she died. She forgave people. She'd already done it. We have to do the same, folks. The caution is today, be careful. Be careful, because picking up a matter that doesn't belong to you can be a very hot potato. It'll burn you. The Scriptures bring it out here. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife that doesn't belong to him. You might, how'd that get started? Well, you hurt my mom, you hurt me. You say that to my mom, and that's my mom, and that hurt me too. And I'm going to carry that offense. Folks, it's a dangerous thing to do. Watch out. I can just tell you, watch out for it, because it can happen. It can happen to any one of us. My mother, I tell you, she was my best friend and everything to me. But I watched as her dad worked hard, and he had saved up in his life $58,000. And one of the family members said he wanted me to have it all. In spite of him making a will out just a few months before he passed away, they took every bit, drained the whole $58,000. Took every bit of it. Oh, it was hard. It was difficult. 1982, I believe, it happened, because that's when my grandfather died. Oh, it was just, the family was just so upset. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that all of us in here were brothers and sisters, and I say, Daddy loved me more than he did you all. He just loved me more than he did. Yeah. What are you going to think of me? You're going to... I'll kill you. There's thoughts in people's mind. You know, I'm going to get even. You couldn't. That's impossible. But it happened. It happened. You know, those things can split families wide open. And to this day, I've tried to have some contact, but my mom, I want to tell you about my mama, kept sending her little sister happy birthday. Happy birthday. Till she died. That's what forgiveness will do. Crying out to God. It'll help us to turn people loose. When they have done wrong to us. I could tell you that, you know, I could pick up, I know some other family members said they call them awful names. I wouldn't even repeat it up here. Wouldn't repeat it anywhere. They just call them awful names. The very idea they've done that causes separation. But who wins in the final? How long do you think $58,000 will last when you're blowing it pretty quick? It doesn't last very long. But I'm going to tell you, the 4th of July and the Christmas times and Thanksgiving and all the family gets together and we're laughing and we love each other and we're looking over that. We got over it. Ah, that's worth something. That's worth something. Folks, this morning, don't pay the price of carrying bitterness and unresolved anger. Don't carry that price. Don't go through life letting that tag along with you and dragging those ugly things. Those are, you know, guilt and blame. It's like two big heavy suitcases. You pick them up. Oh, man, they're heavy. Guilt, I carry that through life, and I got to have the blame suitcase because the reason I have all the guilt is because what people's done to me, and I begin to blame people for everything that I've got. They're the reason. They're why. You know, I've watched in life, and people are like in a boat, and they throw out this little anchor, and that anchor hits bottom, and wherever, however much rope they give, that's where the boat circles. And you find out pretty quick in life where people are at. You find out they don't go very far because the anchor's down there. And they've anchored it in some blame on somebody. And they're the reason I'm doing this, and they just circle that. The wind blows one way, moves the boat over a little bit, blows another way, and it just circles all the time. Never get very far. We need to pull up anchor, cut the rope, or get away from things. Get away from them. They're no good. It's rotten. It'll destroy you. It's cancerous. It's dangerous. It'll cause you trouble in your spiritual life. Get away from it. Go on. Move on. Be bigger than that. The Lord wants to bless us today and give us special help. Keep our conscience clear. Dig down to the roots. Don't be lazy. Don't be spiritually lazy. Dig down to the roots and find out why that's coming, why that pops up. Dig down to them, deal with it. Ask God to help us. He'll give us victory. There's nothing like seeing the people of God shine. There's nothing like seeing people with victory in their souls. It's overcome some obstacles. It's nothing like it. Wednesday night, testimony time, there's nothing like seeing how the Lord has given victory in the camp. There's nothing like being with the people of God and hearing testimonies from our brothers and sisters, how the Lord helped them. I tell you, it's just wonderful. Let's keep that going. Let's keep it going amongst us. Let's not let anger and bitterness and vengeance and all those things overcome us. We're in a race. I told the men we need to be escapees. And boy, they perk up. Escapees, that sounds good to me. I said, no, guys, it's not getting out of these walls here. It's just being internally free. I was in Oregon once. I shouldn't have mentioned before, was it? But I was at a certain place. And one of my dear brothers said, you really hit the nail on the head. There was a person there that was in the service, and I preached about being escaping. Said he was right here. And I had no clue. But I really believe being a true escapee is escaping things just like this anger business. Don't let it get you, folks. Don't let it overcome you. Don't carry things around. Don't let it tie you down. Get away from it. Be an escapee. You've escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And we keep running. You keep running. You don't stop. You keep going till you get away from it. We have needs today in our hearts, our lives. Let's seek the Lord. Let's ask Him to help us to be overcomers. I believe He wants us to overcome some things. Thank you for your time this morning.